Chiefs there. I was excited about that. Great rendition of it and everything. Good to see all the smiling faces on this morning. So glad to have the Memphis group join us this morning. Really encouraged. Grateful for this platform called Zoom that allows us to just connect no matter where we are this morning. Guys, this morning we're going to be over in the book of Genesis. That's where we're going to start this morning. And we're going to talk about God has a dream. Our God is a dreamer. He has a dream that involves you and I, that involves every man and woman and every creature that has ever been created. Our God has a dream. There's a dreamer in all of us, believe it or not, regardless if you dream big or you dream small. There's a dreamer in all of us. We were created to dream. We were created to have visions, but we were also created to see those dreams become reality. You know, dreams are defined as images and ideals, emotions and sensations that occur when we sleep. And we have a lot of dreams when we sleep. You know, I'm pretty sure I would like to think that everybody has a dream of flying. I think the worst thing about having a dream about flying is that I hate that my dream has to end and I have to wake up and come back down to earth. I think that's what I struggle with. I want to like stay in the dream thing. Let me fly. Let me wander around. I love that. You know, dreams are also defined as being fun, adventurous, sometimes distorted. They're just not very clear. And also frightening. I've had frightening dreams in life where I wake up and I can no longer get back to sleep. You know, I'm a little nervous, a little uneasy, and I begin to roam the house, check the doors, the windows, and make sure everything's okay. You know, a dream can frighten you like that. And then, you know, you have some fun dreams of great memories of loved ones or a time when you were with loved ones and it was so much fun, you just didn't want to leave it. Or, I don't know, have you ever had the dream of you're tasting this food and you can actually taste it in your dream and you wake up and you realize it was just a dream. I really didn't have that food that I was eating or that I was dreaming about. Dreams offer so many things. You know, in Job 33, it says God defines dreams as him whispering in your ear when you are sleeping. You know, when I read that scripture in Job 33, actually it's a whole passage where Job is having a conversation, but in Job 33, 14 through 18, I thought, man, well, you know, God is whispering in my ear while I'm asleep. You know, I would like a little bit more clarity. Are you waking up? Or let me see you. Can we just have a conversation face to face? Can we just really talk? Dreams, it says in Job that it's God whispering in your ear while you sleep deeply. You know, let's talk about who is the pioneer of dreaming. It's got to be God himself. He is truly the pioneer of dreaming. You see, in the beginning, before our beginning, guess what? God was dreaming. That's right, in the beginning, before our beginning, before, as we know, when the heavens and the earth were created, God was dreaming about creating this place that we call home, the place that we call earth, this ball that we roam on. God was dreaming of creating a place that he could dwell with you and I. God is the pioneer of dreaming. But this dream God had, it involved a perfect place. God was dreaming of a perfect place where he could roam and walk with us and grow with us. You see, the pioneer of dreams was dreaming of a place where he could dwell forever and ever, where he could groom man, groom woman, raise us, and watch us grow into becoming the people that he dreamed of us to be. God is the pioneer of dreaming. And so those of us who he created, he also wanted to know that we were destined to dream also, and that our dreams are important. Our God had a dream of a perfect place that included you, I, and him. We're going to be on Genesis chapter 2. And while you guys are getting there to Genesis chapter 2, we're going to verse 15. Before we get to verse 15, we just need to look at what God was doing. God created the earth in 6 days. Man, grew some plants, need some food. They're going to need something to drink. He says, but they're going to need something to do. And picking up at verse 15, it says, verse, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 15 says, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, man, there was no suitable helper for him. It says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Our God had a dream of a perfect place. That's the first point, of a perfect place. Now, you would think, you and I are thinking now, what's going to be the perfect place? If God asked me, hey, what's the perfect place that I want God to create for me? A lot of us would probably say, but we don't need to have no work involved in this. Why should I have to work? You know, the perfect place, I work enough here on earth. Can we just, I need to be a place where I can just relax. Because you think about it, when people pass away, we always say, may they rest in peace. But God's perfect place before we knew what rest in peace was, oh, I'm going to need to do some work. And then all these beasts and everything and all these gardens and trees that I put here, guess what? I'm going to need you to take care of it. That's right. I need you to be a caregiver. This is the first thing he assigned to man. You're going to work and you're going to be a caregiver. You're going to learn to care for some other things other than yourself. But ain't it what disciples are supposed to do? Isn't that the challenge for us? And caring for people has its challenges, believe it or not. But caring for people sometimes can really change your heart, and it can develop you. You know, God has a dream, well, had a dream, to have a perfect place that involved us working and being caregivers to his creation. A place that involved endless foods, water. And believe it or not, during by getting his dream, it seemed everybody was a vegetarian. So there wasn't going to be no issue about what you ate. Everybody was vegan or a vegetarian, and it wasn't plant-based, it was just plants. So plant-based, you're listing a little plant in there to make it taste good, but no, God says it's just strictly plant. Everybody was a vegetarian. Wow. In the garden, there was unity and there was free will. Imagine that. There was unity and there was free will. There was free will in the garden as well as boundaries that were set in place to protect. Think about it. There were boundaries set in place. God said you can't eat of a certain tree. Not yet. It wasn't going to be forever, but just not yet. Not until God was ready for you to partake in that tree. Because God knew that Adam and Eve needed some grooming. God knows that you and I need some grooming. But you know, we've experienced what it's like to live with boundaries and what it's like to cross boundaries. But in order to, I should say, key to the boundaries that are put in place, it's going to take some patience, some contentment, and obedience. We need to be observed as we walk with God. I don't know how it was in your house growing up during Christmas time, but when I think about free will, I think about growing up in your house, you have free will to grow up in your home. Your parents are getting ready for Christmas. They're doing all the decorations. Some of our parents may put up decorations right after Thanksgiving and get the tree out right then. And you start noticing all the gifts are going up under the tree. what's the main thing that a child likes to do or like to ask? They like to say, can I open up just one? And the parent's like, you can look at the tree. You can see the gifts from afar. But you better not go near that tree. It's going to cost. It will cost. You see, we think about the garden, but God had given Adam and Eve free will, but he had boundaries because he knew at the exact time when they would be ready for what he had in store for them. It's just like Christmas in our house. There are gifts under the tree for a reason. We are just as excited as they are to receive it, and we are excited to give it. But we set boundaries and say, not until the day of Christmas can you open your gift. Now, I think maybe the new generation, or maybe it's been going on for a while, and I'm just slow to catch up, but now we got to the point where they say, well, look, we'll let you open up one on Christmas Eve, okay? We'll do it a day early, okay? Just so I can relieve the pressure off of you. See, God had a plan. He had a plan of a, I'm so sorry, he had a dream of a perfect place. A place that you and I could dwell with him. On God's time, according to God's will. You know, I think about Thanksgiving is another time I think about. Thanksgiving is great when family gets together. A lot of love, a lot of fellowship. There's a lot of food. And I don't know about you, but you may have that one family member who's holding up everybody started Thanksgiving Day. It just happened. And you want to know, why do we have to wait? Now, when you're young, you don't say too much because you know you'll get in trouble. But when you are older, you're like, look, we ain't got to wait on them. Look, they play when they get here. But for some reason, we're like, no, it's better when family is all here because it speaks of unity. And therefore, where is aunt so-and-so, mom so-and-so, grandma so-and-so, they set the boundaries up. You better not go in that kitchen. You better not go near that table until so-and-so gets here, because that's going to be the appointed time that we're going to get together and have Thanksgiving. You see, God is not trying to keep us from nothing, but God has a time when we can receive it. Our God has a dream for us to be excellent. He has a dream for us to grow. He has a dream for us to raise up and do some mighty things in his kingdom. But it's going to be on God's time, on God's turn. But can you live with that? Can you wait on the Lord and work according to the Lord? Not be idle and not doing that, but can you wait on the Lord and wait on his time and work according to his plan? So we have Adam and Eve. You guys are in the garden. It's beautiful. It's got everything that they need. But then we run into a, what you say, a speed bump in the road. A speed bump in the road. Point two, we want to talk about, in God's dream, a perfect place destroyed. Look what we go over in Genesis 3:6. You know, I've learned in life that there are just some people who just don't want to see you do good, who don't want to see you succeed, who don't want to see you accomplish any goals, who don't want to see you taste success. For whatever reason it is, they just do not want you. And when a person is like that, they would do everything in their power to sabotage you. Even some people do it thinking that they're doing the right thing. Or they do it sometimes because they think they get pleasure out of you suffering. Adam and Eve are in the garden. It's the perfect place. But you know, unbeknownst to them, there's some divine beings that have been around long before they were ever created. And over in chapter 3, starting in verse 6, there's a conversation happening with Eve and with the serpents, or as we know, the enemy, the devil. said, told you that you were naked. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Wow. Stop right there. There's nothing worse than somebody taking advantage of it for whatever reason. You know, in this world, you know, there are a lot of jealous people. We know what it's like to be jealous. And when you become jealous, you can do things that can be wrong. Especially when you act on jealous emotions. You can do things that can harm others. You can do things to ruin people's lives. You can do things to ruin your own life. God has had a dream of a perfect place. When everything was to unfold at a perfect time. But the enemy has slipped in and destroyed God's plan. You see, unforgiven people can be heartless if they're unforgiven. They can be heartless and bitter. You know, hurtful people tend to seek revenge. But revenge helps nobody. It does more damage to the soul, to relationships. Vengeful people can be unforgiving. Who's really winning? Who's really winning? When you are not close to God, you are susceptible to falling for anything that the enemy throws at you. Do you know that? When you are not close to God, not spending time in prayer, in word, seeking advice from godly people, man, you are so open. You are an open target for the enemy to throw anything at you. And you would trip and fall for it every time. Now, to get an understanding about how something so precious can be destroyed, let's talk about it. We're all probably moviegoers here. We have certain movies we like. Some of us probably fall in certain series and episodes. I grew up in the era of Star Wars from the 70s up to now. I was anxious to see all of the Star Wars movies. Hey, Marvel came along. Man, they did a great job making all these lines. Now, you know, the great thing about a movie and following a series or episodes is that the anticipation of waiting to see what happened. You want to see it for yourself. Now, you got to be honest with me. There's nothing worse than you are so excited and ready to see the movie. It's coming out. You have a friend who goes see it before you. They come back and what do? They have the audacity to start telling you what happened. Now, as a disciple, you're trying to hold some restraint, but like, what? What is your problem? Why would you spoil it for me? You knew that I wanted to see this movie. They destroy everything for you. No matter if you go see the movie after they told you, you already know what's going to happen. Who's going to die? Who's going to be the hero? Who's going to be the villain? What new suit they going to have? They took all the joy out of you seeing this movie. That's what it's like having a dream destroyed when somebody step in and do it. And you know when they do it, and they know that you told them you don't want to hear it. But what do they do? I want to tell you anyway, because it's self-satisfying to them. Man. You see, when the enemy got in the garden, and he got in there and he got the trick in Eve, and guess what? It says Adam was right there now. It didn't say like he gave her the apple and he was somewhere else. I should say the apple. He gave her the fruit and he was somewhere else. It's like they're both right there. Gave them both the fruit. His whole plan was, I don't care nothing about God. Everything that God has created. You see, in the beginning, before the beginning, God had a dream that involved you and I. And our enemy didn't like it. So from day one, he has sought to destroy that perfect place. He has sought to destroy that dream. You see, God has a dream that involves you and I and trust. Will you trust the Lord during this time? Can God trust you with his dreams to restore this place? Because you see, the first Garden of Eden may have been tampered with and destroyed, but God has a plan to restore that place back to glory, to make it where it was. But will you trust God? Will you stay focused on God, when you stay close to God, so that our enemy, the devil, does not trip you up and cost you your position in God's perfect place when the Lord calls you home. Finally, guys, we're going to close up with this last one here. We're going to go over to Revelation. So we're talking about God has a dream. He is the pioneer of dreamers. That is who God is. Man, when you dream, you got to realize it comes from your Father. You're able to dream because of Him. And over in Revelation 22 is where we're going to go. Talk about point three, a perfect place restored. You see, God, we think like, man, so Satan destroyed Eden and the dream is dead, but the dream was never dead. It was never dead. God just said, okay, we're going to go forward. Because God says, the people that I'm creating, I trust them. They can overcome anything because of faith. These people love me. These people love what I've created. These people desire to be with me and no longer live in a world that is suffering, a world that is hurting, a world that is full of evil and wickedness, a world that is dominated by sin. God says, my dream is still alive, and the perfect place will be restored. Revelation 22, we're going to be at, let me get over here. Revelation 22, verse 1, chapter 22, verse 1 of Revelation says, then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal. It's flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. It says on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. It says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and forever. Wow, the dream is still alive. The enemy wants to make you think that what's happening now, this is it, this is the end, and they're going to get no better. Despair, depression, sadness. Guess what? You can't convert nobody. You can't help nobody find God. You can't help nobody fall apart. The enemy wants to keep you beaten down, mentally, emotionally, and physically. But here, God reminds you, the dream is very much alive. The dream is very much alive. God has a dream of a perfect place restored. You see, God desires to restore us, as well as his perfect place. This tree of life, it says, it's on both sides of the river. I tried to picture that. Wow, this has got to be a big tree, maybe with a tunnel through it. And then, my mind was thinking like, this is something like, you're like Willy Wonka, the river tree flowing through it, and it's going through the middle of it. But God has an amazing place. It says the water is crystal clear. See, God has a dream of a perfect place that involves a perfect race. And that race of perfect people are followers of Christ, disciples of our Lord, imitators of our Savior. And let me tell you what I mean. Christ, messenger of the good news to man. But Christ bared his cross, and he led the way to dealing with sin. That's what Christ did. He bared his cross, and he led the way to dealing with sin. When he died on the cross, the enemy became powerless, and you and I became powerful. As a follower of Christ, will you carry your cross every day? Will you embrace the power that it gives you over sin? That's what the cross does. That's what following Christ does. If you follow Christ, man, and you bear your cross, you will become powerful. See, that cross had no power until Christ climbed up on that die for us. It is powerful. There's power in the blood that spills from. Talk about our Lord. Our Lord means authority, leadership for mankind, and we are in need of leadership. It says our Lord was and is the first disciple to follow God's lead and direction for living. our Lord is God's example to us when it comes to learning how a disciple should live. You have to ask yourself, do you have a teachable spirit and a learner's heart? Are you willing to live as a disciple every day by following God's example to us who happen to be named Jesus? Are you willing to follow God's example every day? Finally, Savior. Savior meaning a servant to humanity. Savior, he is the great rescuer. Jesus is the first ever first responder before we even started calling it first responder. He's the first responder to humanity. He was not sent here to judge. Instead, he was sent to rescue you and I from the greatest pandemic to ever exist. And it's called sin. That's the greatest pandemic that will ever exist in the existence of humanity. It's called sin. You see, God sent Jesus, he sent our Savior to seek and save, to plan a war, all of humanity, with the hope that some will respond, because he knows that all will not. You know, a lot of times, guys, we go and we get rejected, and some people say yes, some people say no. And some people are anxious to come to the kingdom for whatever reason. But God wants us to focus on putting the message out. He wants us to focus on following his greatest example to us. That is Jesus. Jesus was rejected long before he ever carried the cross. You got to go like that. Scripture tells you, Jesus was rejected long before he ever carried the cross. And long after he carried the cross and he buried it, and he did what he had to do, and his assignment was ended, and he went back, guess what? To this very day while we're living, guess what? Jesus is still what? Being rejected by a lot of people. But yet the dream still lives. God is still pushing forward. He is still rejected to this day. You know, but for those of us who are responding to the message of Christ, the leadership of our Lord, and the works of our Savior, be assured that there is a perfect place that awaits us all. But you know what? Until that day comes, we need to be messengers of the good news. That's the only way we get to live in the dream of God. You need to be messengers of the good news. We need to be godly leadership to other people. The dream requires that. And disciples who seek and say, plan more. We're going to have to put some work in. God told you in the beginning, when he put us in the garden, we were not there just to sit, kick back, and laugh, be like, oh, well, and Mary. No, we put in the garden to work and be caregivers. And even here in this last verse, it says when all the servants were around the throne, they were going to be there to what? To serve the Lord. We cannot grow tired and weary in doing what is expected of us. Our God has a dream that no man or woman should be lost or left behind. But he knows that some will be. Our God has a dream of all of us being in this perfect place where the tree of life is so big, him and Jesus on the throne. We're all gathered there, and he has things for us to do. Our God has a dream that involves you and I being there in the very end. Our God has a dream for us, because he simply loves us. Do you believe in the dream? Do you believe in God's word? Do you believe in God's plan? Do you believe that everything that God has left behind for us to see? Jesus says over the Gospel of Luke, he says, if you don't believe in nothing else that I've done, he says, at least believe in the works. He said, if you don't believe in me because of what's been said about me before I got, he said, at least look at my work and let that convince you that I am working for you, that I am working on your behalf. God has a dream of a perfect place. That perfect place has never, never really been destroyed. But instead, that perfect place still exists, and it is waiting on us to get there. But until our time and our turn, let's just say it's our time, and it is our turn to go home to be with the Lord, to other people. We need to share the dream with other people. We need to take the dream of God to the world and let them know God is still God. The throne is still there. There's still power in the cross. Christ is the bearer of a great message. He is the ultimate rescuer. And if you so desire to want to be rescued, then follow me as I take you to be pioneer. Guys, thank you so much for just listening to me this morning, for just hearing the message. It's great to see everybody here this morning. I pray that this message has inspired you, that it pushes you to think about a lot of things that were said during the welcome, said during the communion message, the contribution message, even the songs that we played inadvertently through different parts of the message. But also pray that the sermon this morning has moved your heart, your mind, and your soul.